Life-changing conversion. We're in chapter 9 of Acts this morning. We've been moving along in Acts and took a break or two. Last week we had communion and a good service in the Lord's Supper, and I'm glad you were here for that. And today we continue on in Acts. Life-changing conversion. The first word, life. The next word, changing. Conversion. Not reciting a few words, not just saying, well, you know, I went to the altar and I had a little warm, fuzzy feeling. I might be saved, I might not be saved. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about a life-changing conversion. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is a life-changing conversion, but it's the real deal. So let's look at the slide. It's Acts 9, 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men got up from the ground. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. A familiar story. Saul turns into Paul. And we know a lot about this story. We know, but I want you to pay attention because you can learn from it. Don't just think, well, I know this story. Even though you do, listen to what the Lord would say to you today. Saul of Tarsus. I never can get that out exactly. He was a bad dude. That's all you can say. He was meaner than a snake, some people say. This guy was tough. He was killing people for the persecuted church because they believed in Jesus. That's all it took right there. They said there's a Christian, and here comes Saul, and he meant to wipe out Christianity. Wipe it out. If you were a follower of Jesus, his disciple, he was after you. From this point on in the book of Acts, We find in all through the New Testament, this guy becomes Paul. And he is a dominant figure all the way through from this point. And man, how much can we learn from Paul? So very much we can learn from him. Now this passage here today covers Saul's confrontation with the Lord. And we know the story of the blinding light and so on and so forth, but don't let it be so familiar you miss some key points. The next slide is verses 1 and 2 again. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He's still saying that he's going to kill them, he's going to imprison them, so on and so forth. He went to the high priest and asked for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found there any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he could take them to prison in Jerusalem. If he found anybody in the way, you know, there's the old jokes that preachers tell about the old brother so-and-so in the church, he's in the way. Says, yeah, he's been in the way for 50 years. No, I'm sorry, that was the flesh probably. The way here is referred to being a Christian. If in the early church, if somebody said, you know, that he is in the way, they're talking about the Christian life. Not that he's really in the way of whatever. So that was a common term back then to say, yes, that person's in the way. He's a follower of Christ. He changed his way of life. And we have scripture in different places. The Bible says the way of salvation, the way of the Lord, the way of peace, the way of truth, the way of righteousness. That's just a few examples when it says the way. That they're talking about the Lord's way. Verse 3 on the screen, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Now you got to get this point. Saul, right here, is in the most evil way, killing, imprisoning people who are Christians, and the slaughter even of believers. Now, he is stricken down. This light comes that's brighter than the noonday sun, and it strikes him down. You got to get this. Saul was in the process of persecuting the church, persecution against the Lord, persecution against the disciples. He was in the very middle of that evil. And what happened? He got converted. You understand that? You think about it, that you know, well, Paul, he must have had to go through the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, down to 10 to get saved. And Saul must have had to have done all this. I'm telling you, in the middle of the evil, the blinding light came and Saul turned in to Paul. What's that tell you? There's hope. There's hope for the worst guy you know. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. There's hope for the most wicked of the wicked, because if it can happen to Paul here and from this point on in Scripture, how Paul was used mightily in the kingdom of God, it tells me anybody, even when they're in the middle of wickedness, can get saved and turn their life around through Jesus and be a great worker in the kingdom of God. If that's not hope, I don't know what it is. This light, boom, here it comes. Not expecting it. I did that in hell, and boy, she threw her head up. See if I can do that again. Keep her awake. Here comes this light. Not expected, not working up to it. Boom. Brighter than the noonday sun. Unexpected. This was a supernatural, this was a miraculous thing from God, that God sent himself a great light, brighter than the noonday sun. Now the next slide, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. A confrontation, a moment of truth, it's happening right here. Paul heard a voice speak to him, and he's the only one that heard it. Now, there's people around him, yes. They knew something was happening, yes, but he's the only one that heard the voice. And what's going on here? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He got his attention. He heard him. Folks, people in our own country and around the world and all the people groups you saw in the video, that ought to move you. That ought to move you to get up and go on a mission trip. That ought to move you, if you're not led to do that, to be giving toward those kinds of things. Because one of the requirements before the Lord Jesus comes again is that this gospel spread around the world. And that video said something about 10 years. So who knows the time. He heard this voice. And Saul that becomes Paul. In my mind, and you read the story and ask the Lord to speak to you, he was right on the verge I believe this guy was ready to split hell wide open. I believe this guy had done so much wrong and so much evil, and he was still killing and he was still persecuting God's people. And I believe he was on dangerous ground. He was close to the brink of no return except for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. There's people walking around you at work that way. There's people in your school that way. There's people that have done so much wrong and so much evil, and they're on the brink, if they turn the Lord down one more time, that they'll be given over to a reprobate mind. And we got to take it serious as God's people. Saul was on dangerous ground. Listen to me. Opposing Christ is serious business. Do you say amen? Opposing Christ is serious business. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what the title is. I don't care how high up on the social ladder you are. If you're the president of the United States, if you're the president of India, who says that this will be a Hindu country, period, and you Christians, you're in trouble now, or whatever, Russia, China, wherever you want to talk about. Opposing Christ is serious business, and Saul had been doing it, and he's on the brink. I mean on the brink. This close, he's standing on the corner, a splitting hell wide open. But there's hope. Why? Because of mercy, because of grace, of Almighty God's salvation plan that Jesus carried out. And here's the wicked of the wicked. And that gives me hope to know that the worst guy I may know, God's able to save. That somebody like me when I was in sin, that God had mercy on me. And he had mercy on you too if you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? The greatest story ever told. And old Saul here, he knew who was talking to him. The voice came from heaven. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Let me know who you are. He knew. And he had to think about it. If you're in sin today and you're not saved, you're opposing Christ. Well, you say, listen, I've never killed a bunch of Christians. I've not robbed the bank. I've not killed anybody. I've not raped anybody. I'm not guilty of all this stuff. You know, okay, I'm glad. But if you're not saved, you're opposing Christ. And it's serious business. Because all of us will stand before him one day and give an account of our life. And will it be today? It could be. Will it be next week? It could be. Would it be 50 years? It could be that too. But one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you're opposing Jesus today, you're in trouble. And you say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm glad. My question is, have you asked for forgiveness of sin? Have you repented and told Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved? If you have not done that, you're opposing Christ. Well, and Saul, he caught that. He caught so much in those 3 days. He couldn't eat now for 3 days, and he didn't drink, and he was blind for 3 days. And he had all that time for all this stuff, this evil, his time in the past and what would happen in the future. He had all this time to think about it. Now, what did he think? I have no idea all that he thought. But I think that he thought of the stone that was thrown at Stephen. And I just, in my mind, think, well, you know, he thought every stone was against his disciple. Every stone thrown at Stephen was really sinning against God. All this stuff I've been doing, all this sin is really against God. Well, yeah, it's against these people that I dragged through the streets. Yes, it's against the people that I threw in jail and had no right to do it. But it dawned on him, I am sinning against God. When you realize you're opposing God, when we realize we're sinning against God, something happens in the mind and the soul. We have to make a choice. Not comparing ourselves to someone else. Not saying I'm better than old so-and-so. When I realize I'm sinning against God, I must make a choice. All of us do. Well, Saul, he had chose the hard way of life. He had chose the difficult path. And now we see the conversion. Verse 6 on the screen says, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Here's the surrender. Here's the surrender part. He did what he was told. Here's the obedience part. He got up and he done what he was told. I think it was like, I can't bear this sin anymore. And he did what every person's got to do. Acknowledge that he's a sinner. Acknowledge that the only one can save him is Jesus Christ. And he repented. Verse 7. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. So here's the people with him. What in the world is happening, they're saying. They witnessed the event, but they didn't know what was happening exactly around them. Then the next slide is verse 8 and 9. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul did what the Lord told him to do. What he was commanded to do. He went up, he got to the city, and his eyes, you know, if you shut your eyes, you know how that is. 3 days of that. Can't see. Depending on somebody to lead you. And he went through all that thinking of all that he had done, what was happening to him. He had a lot to think about for 3 days. It sunk in. I know what it feels like to be convicted, do you? Do you know what it is to be convicted of sin? If you're saved, you know that feeling. Do you remember the joy that came? Do you remember the burden lifted when you were saved? Do you remember saying, now I am a child of God. I've washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. You know the change that was there. Saul, could he have been thinking, all that I have done, all the wrong, all the sin, all the evil, why is God choosing me? You ever felt that way? Oh, if you knew my past, if you knew the other guy's past, if we knew this, why would God call me? God does what he wants to do. God had a plan for Paul. God has a plan for you. And no, I don't think anybody in the building has been going and persecuting Christians and killing them and putting them in jail. But my friend, take me serious as I close on opposing God. If God's calling you to do something, if God is stirring your heart and your spirit and you know that God is saying whatever to you, and the Word of God backs that up so you know you've got clarity, and you know, and you keep on opposing what God has for you, you're on dangerous ground. So I ask you today to look at this last slide. It's 3-4 words there. Former life. All of us have a past. All of us, before we were saved, just like Saul here, but came Paul, we have a past. We have a former life. We have things that needed to be surrendered. We needed to be forgiven. Okay? And then the surrender in Paul's life came. He surrendered. He changed. And oh my goodness, the word from this point on is full of wisdom and knowledge that was written through the Holy Spirit in Paul to tell us truth and how to live. That surrender came, and obedience. Now, the former life, we can identify, and we can pretty much know, okay, this is when I got saved. Now, then comes the surrender, you know, we're surrendering to the Lord. Now, from that point to obedience, people get in trouble. People get confused. Well, I asked Jesus to save me, so I'm good to go. Well, yes, we must ask Jesus to save us, and He does that when we have a pure heart and a genuine heart. He does that at the moment we ask. Surrender must come, and obedience must come. This gospel, when you read it, when you read the Bible from cover to cover, there is not, Lord, save me today, amen, and go live any way you want to for the next 80 years and then die. That's not what's in the book. What's in the book is to get saved, to repent, to say I'm sorry for sin, and keep surrendering to the Lord, and keep obedience, a continual lifestyle of surrender and obedience. So, what a story. What a story for hope. People have said to me, Preacher, God wouldn't even have me. Still talking to a guy this day. If I called his name, you'd know him. And I'm not going to call his name. I never would do that. Preacher, if you knew the things I've done, God don't want me. God wouldn't have me. I said, that's one of the biggest lies you've ever been told by the devil himself. Because God loves you. And I pray one day that he'll see the truth of it. That God does love him. I assure you, as I stand on my two feet, all whatever pounds I got, too many, I assure you, that God Almighty loves you. And you say, well, I don't know. Listen, there is no question. God loves you. Period. And if you're lost, would you be saved today? And if you're here as a Christian, and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and you know He has for some time, about an issue in life, would you surrender it today? Would you obey Him? Don't go out of the building feeling like I'm opposing Christ in this area of my life, whatever that may be. Would you stand with me? Our Father, we're familiar with this story. We thank you, God, that it proves to us once again today the great hope we have in Jesus Christ. The grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of sin. What a great, wonderful, loving, kind God you are. That your power can reach down and change Saul into Paul. That your mercy and grace and power in the blood of Jesus can reach down and save Ron Leonard and anybody else. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What hope we have. What love there is in Jesus. And I'd just like to say thank you for changing Paul's life here, and how we read of all he did in the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you for changing me. And God, not only was it a one-time thing, but you're continually changing me. You're continually talking to me about things I may need to start doing or stop doing as I surrender and obey to you. So Lord, here we are, knowing full well that we're loved by Almighty God, and that anybody under the sound of my voice who's going through a hard time, who's not sure about their salvation, who is overcome by a trial, that there is hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you deal with us today? May the Holy Spirit have His way with all of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.